Blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah. We have a fuller house today because the systems have allowed us and given us Sunday at least to rest our heads. So we have there's no option but to come and gather. Praise the Lord. We bless God for how he's been leading us. I also want to appreciate the young people, especially the ones on the instruments, the ones that are leading songs. One of the things I enjoy about it is that these are dynamites. Amen. And when they lead worship, especially the female sons of Asa, you know there are female sons of Asa. Eh? Then there are male sons of Asa. As they lead worship, there's this silent swag, you know. It's part of the worship. I was watching Nifemi yesterday with a silent swag. And I saw Mary today with her own different one, you know. All of them are worship unto God. It means that they love their God. Hallelujah. May this spirit of worship and grace, may it abide with them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. We are going to continue today as much as we can bite. I believe that the seed will be sown and we will spend some time on the seed that is sown to grow on it the fruits that I expected. Praise the Lord. Right from the time we came, we've been speaking on beholding the beauty around the throne. And most of the songs that Mary was lifting up today was talking about his face, his presence. In fact, if not all the songs, talking about his face, his presence, the strength in his presence. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we've been talking about since we came in. The content of his presence. That's what the throne is about. You know, the workings of the mind of the Spirit, the workings of the mind of the Spirit is not like it is in the flesh. You know, you can have God expressing all of the content of his presence, and you are there before the throne and you are sitting here. Did we get that? You are before the throne, but you are sitting here. So, why I'm saying this is for us to comprehend prophecy. You don't look at the throne and say, oh, the 24 elders that are there, or the four living beasts, because you sitting here are part of the four living beasts. Amen. Did we get that?
Yes.
So that's prophecy. Prophecy is not, it's a realm in the spirit. It's like you are sitting here, you are also in the heavenlies.
Hallelujah.
And you are seated with Christ. And so when the visions are shown to John, he's seeing the big holistic picture of the content of the throne. And like someone said, I don't know who said that, maybe Sister Essay, all of these things that we've been going through in these past few days is that they are particulars of the hope. And what the particulars of the hope does to us, it makes us run faster because it is clear. When the vision is clear, the race is faster. Somebody can say, why are you talking about the beauty of the throne? I mean, we are here on earth. You are talking about the beauty of the throne. The beauty of the throne is being spoken about to a particular set of people who are royal and that they should know the estate where they belong. There are some places, some messages will not fit. It will just not fit. But there are some places the messages would fit. If you are talking to the Prince Charles or Prince William, there are things you'll be talking about. It's not into petty matters. is into matters that relates to the throne, royalty, leadership, the kings of this world. That's what the prince will be talking about. He's not talking. He doesn't even talk about buy this or buy a shirt. He doesn't have time for all that. They are more serious business. And that is what God is making us to realize.
Amen.
That there are more serious business concerning this call wherein he has called us. Praise the Lord. And so those serious business are the things we are attempting to touch, so that we know how to run. And we are not distracted by little, petty things. Praise the Lord. So, pressing and moving forward, let's take this song. Hallelujah. Ascribe greatness to our God, the Lord is and all his ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His walk is perfect, and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, true or bright is he. Father, we ascribe greatness to your name. Your works are all perfect. We come before you and we sing this song of Moses. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. We bless you, our Father. We thank you for your great works, even that which you are working in and upon our lives. Father, we receive strength from your presence. We receive strength in this tabernacle. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Father. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. There are two churches that speaks directly to the matters of the throne in the book of Revelation. Others also speak about the particulars, some of the particulars on the throne, but there are two distinctive churches that speaks about the matters of the throne, and that's the church in Thyatira and the one in Laodicea. We are going to look at the associated content in the church in Thyatira and the church in Laodicea. And we're going to take our bearing from there. The church in Laodicea was the last church spoken to before John was caught up to the upheaval place. The church in Thyatira has in it a very strong hold, some level of principalities that contends against the throne. So we first look at Revelation. We look at Revelation chapter 2. We want to look at the church in Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2. Let me pick this from my Bible. Revelation chapter 2. Okay. I think it starts from 18. Okay. 18. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Lord of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are fine brass. These are judgmental elements. When God is introduced like this, they are judgmental elements. His eyes are seen beyond what anyone can see. And those seen eyes, they have the capacity for consuming. Praise the Lord. It's how God is a consuming fire. And the feet as fine brass speaks about judgment. The way the Lord is introduced to the church matters a great deal about what he's about to say. Praise the Lord. Now, in verse 19, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. I mean, all of these are great attributes. Patience, faith, charity, these are great attributes. So a church can operate with all of these great attributes, and yet God has something against it. Notwithstanding, when you start hearing the English grammar, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding is a big grammar. But when you start hearing something, that all these good things that I have said about you, or somebody speaking, say, however, when you start hearing such things, know that the reverse is about to come. Praise the Lord. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servant, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the ruins and heart. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's rulership. That's throne. And so, overcoming the forces, the playing forces in the church in Thyatira, God already pronounced a reward. The reason is because when you speak about Jezebel, you are speaking about the harlot woman. It's connected to the harlot woman, the harlot mistress of the systems of the world. The fornicator. She's a professional fornicator, even though she's with virtue. You know this. You know Jezebel? Jezebel is one with virtue. Yeah. And you heard charity there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The church has charity and has all of that. But is with virtue. And this virtue tend to placate and cover some of the other things happening under, bringing about the seat. I won't make too much comment there. We move over. But I want us to take note of verse 26 to 29, and I will read it again. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shiver. Even as I receive my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the. That same harlot woman is the one that sits over the waters of the nations. It's the same Allah. It's the same Spirit. And is controlling and is ordering. And when the Bible uses the word woman, because sometimes our imagination will just think that it's one woman that is sitting somewhere. It's a group, a syndicate of a people. I don't know whether it was this church I was talking to. If you're reading your scripture, and when the Bible speaks in a prophetic word and say a man, it's speaking about one person. And if it says a woman, it's talking about many people. And so the men are also in the womanhood. So we should understand that. Because sometimes you are talking about Jezebel, you are suspecting all the people who probably wore one dress, said, yeah, Jezebel. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a group of people who are causing some level of manipulations and bringing in idolatry that will bring distraction to the people of God. Yesterday, we were giving some examples of some leaders who are misbehaving. What is causing them to misbehave? Some are trying to put away their wife. It's the seductive spirit of Jezebel. So you call the spirit what it is. When people begin to lose their loyalty to the counsel of God, that's the Jezebelite spirit. You address it, and you come with that vehemence. A brother cannot be under the covering of God's people for so long, and you begin to have some strange thoughts that is not the tradition of the church. You rebuke the spirit of Jezebel. And sometimes they never realize it until they have gone astray, far, far. Recovering them becomes so difficult because they've caused a lot of havoc. How do you explain? A brother leaves his marriage and marries another person, and they have more children. And then he says, after about 10 years, he comes back and says, I am sorry. How do you mend it? These are destructive spirits. Hallelujah. Now, the Church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. That should be from verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things. Said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. When God is introduced like this, his character of consistency is being brought to bear. That he's faithful. He's consistent. And that relates to the things he wants to talk about. Praise the Lord. The way he's introduced relates to the things he wants to talk about. Hallelujah. I know thy works. He's always knowing everybody's works. No matter where we hide, he knows our works. That thou art neither cold. Are you seeing any consistency there or inconsistency? That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. If you are consistently cold, you would have been at least cold. If you are consistently hot, maybe we can deliberate. But we don't know where you belong. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there. No. We have such conditions. And we have administrative spirits over such conditions. We rebuke the hot or cold spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we lose ourselves from the hold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, very crucial verse, will I grant to do what? sit with me, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. So, these two churches, there are other churches that have the particular of the throne, but these two churches are very directed to ruling. And it means that the matters of ruling relates to them. People who must be consistent. People who cannot give themselves to idolatry. Who will continually purge and purge and purge until God becomes all and all. Amen. These are the crop of people for the throne. Not just anybody. There are many rewards. Because today we are going to talk about the throne. We have said a lot of things. We are going to talk about the 24 elders. I pray we have the time within this and talk about them. Because they are set thrones.
Hallelujah, glory.
These people, they are people for the throne.
Amen.
The throne is already there. There are people assessing it. There are some more seated here that would assess it.
In the name of Jesus.
Like I said, the word of God grows in a span. So when you are praying and say, oh, I stand before the 24 elders, the 24 elders is a continuous thing going on. There are people being admitted into the fora, the frame of the 24 elders. If you desire to be there, then you target it. Praise the Lord. And you shall rule over nations. Because they have crowns. They have crowns. We must, like my wife said yesterday, we must press in. We are not going to be distracted by petty satisfactions. You know, there's a way you will be so easily satisfied with little things. Eh? You are rich. You have no need of nothing. You know, there's a feeling you can have. When we all came into this way, you know, many of us feel, oh, we have arrived. And that we have arrived for us is a lot of obstacle to growth. God has depths in him. You can't search. You can keep searching. You will never get to the end of him. God always has something to say to you when you approach his word. That verse of scripture that you have read yesterday, when you go to that same verse of scripture and you stay upon it and say, God, speak to me, you will see God breaking forth with new fountains. That's the way he is. We can't afford to be satisfied. We must be a people that continually thirst so that the Lord will keep filling us. In fact, when you stop thirsting, the only thing that can happen to anyone in that condition is to start backsliding. My wife always says that there is nobody who stands stationary in the spiritual movement. It's either you are moving forward or you are going backward. And so we must lose ourselves from anything that would tend to want to pull us backward. We reject it, we refuse it, we press on. Because when the high priest gets into the sanctuary, he doesn't go there to play. His target is to fulfill all of that and get into the holiest of all. That's his target. Because that's where the Shekinah glory is. Even in the holy place, all that is happening in the holy place is a transient thing. He must get into the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. Let's quickly move. We may still make further comments, but we need to cover a few grounds in the short time we have. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, which has been our main text since we started all of this ministry. It says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I want to comment on that. Eldership, the sign of eldership is not just knowledge, but it is maturity. You know, you can have knowledge, but the knowledge you have is not, you don't operate in maturity with the knowledge. The estate of eldership are persons who have acquired knowledge. You know, I read mechanical engineering. And there might be persons here, some of the young ones here who read mechanical, whose brain is, I may not be able to stand side by side with them on knowledge. But maybe as a result of my practice, there are some experiences I would have had. But new technology and new things are coming, which I probably don't, because I'm old school. They may have the fresh school. And when they begin to tell me how, Tolu begins to tell me how some of the equipment they are using now in mechanical engineering, I'll begin to look at him. I say, ride on, my son, teach me. That's about knowledge. But when there is maturity with knowledge, it's another different ball game. Now, these 24 elders are priestly administrators. I will tell us in scripture. They are priests. They are priests to stand and serve the Lord. All of us here can come into that estate. It's not just caught for a few people. Say, oh, it's only Paul. Oh, we can press in and come into that estate. If we look, so I want to bring our mind. You know, one thing about the book of Revelations is that you're reading the book of Revelations is that many of the content of the book of Revelations are not picking statements from Paul's writing. They will go straight to the Old Testament and pick something. So when you are reading it, you must relate. He said the two witnesses. Then he will mention Moses. Okay? He will mention trumpets and mention all such things in the Old Testament. Because the intentions of God expressed in the Old are not changed, even though in the New Testament expression. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if we want to look, let's look at a scripture. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Kings. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get a scripture. Okay, first, let's go to 1 Chronicle. I will still go to 1 King, but let's go to 1 Chronicle 24. Let's go to 1 Chronicle 24 from verse 1 to 5. He said, now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Itamar executed the priest's office. And David, who is the lesser Jesus? Okay? And David distributed them both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Itamar according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men. Mention, look at chief men there. There were more chief men found of the sons of. So these are chief men. They have attained in the priesthood into the chief position. They are chief men. They are not pushed around in the priesthood. They know the laws of God. They have been with God. They know God. They are not novices at all. They have also walked with the Lord. They hear the voice of God. In the sanctuary, they hear the voice of God. And they walk in line with the precepts. So we read further. It says, and there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Itamar. And thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers. and eight among the sons of Itamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided. 8 plus 16 is what? Good. There were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and eight among the sons of Itamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, and sought with another. For the governors of what? They are governors of the sanctuary. These 24 elders, may we arise to the governorship of the sanctuary. It is not bread and butter to ascend to that estate. And we must press in. Let's not just be satisfied and say we are rich. Eh? We have gold. We have no need of nothing. Like the church in Laodicea. God doesn't like that kind of disposition. God is desiring and seeking men that shall press in and come into some estates. Because for him, it is glory and worship.
Amen.
And he has tools to accomplish his purposes. Hallelujah. Then he says, thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God. We are of the sons of Elisa and of the sons of Itamar. These are governors. They operate with governmental power. Hallelujah. They are endowed with governmental power. When they speak, it is so. There's no, they say, my wife was talking about the people from Delta yesterday. Say there's the way they say. In Delta, they say there's no shaking. They are not moved. When they speak, so it is. That is the kind of authority they are endowed with. Then if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 26, I will just read from verse 17 to 18. Eastward were 6 Levites, northward 4 a day, southward 4 a day, and towards Asupin 2 and 2, and Padba westward 4 at the causeway, and 2 at the Pasba. If you add all that together, is 24. Praise the Lord. These are the priestly office, they are priestly administrators in the court of God. They are there. And not just priestly, they occupy governmental power. What they say matters. Hello? You can't push what they say, you can't put it aside. They have governmental power when it comes to the matters of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
God has endowed them with this governmental power. These men are human beings. They are not angelic as they used to make us feel. Angelic beings that you cannot see and touch. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's begin to flow in our thoughts. Sometimes in arranging thoughts for comprehension is not easy, but the Lord will help us. Praise the Lord. If we go to the first scripture we read, it says, from verse 4 again, and round about the throne were 24 seats. At least we've been able to establish that they belong to the priesthood. Good. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. One of the expediency of this group, they must be clothed in white raiment. We know the matters of the throne, the first priority of the throne, and the matters of the throne is righteousness.
Yes.
Thy throne, O God, is forever. And the scepter of thy kingdom, scepter. Because what? You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Anybody who wants to romance with Jezebel-like spirits, of course, cannot tell us they love righteousness. Anybody who wants to be defiled by vain satisfactions from the realms of vanity, cannot tell us they love righteousness. So all things that stand as obstacle to impacting righteousness in the corporate people of the church, we rebuke it.
Amen.
We remove it from its place. We say no to it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings. When you call before the throne, lightnings are revelations of his presence. Okay? You know, lightning comes like a flash. Before you open your eyes to see it, it passes. If you are able to catch a glimpse of it, before it passes, you catch a glimpse of it. And that's how revelations come. As you are reading your scripture, you may not be reading, you may be watching plate in the kitchen. Revelation will just hit you, bam. If you don't hold it, that's gone. It's like lightning. And some of you can relate to it, isn't it? Sometimes you have to run out of your and go and jot it down. The reason is because the Holy Ghost is in you and is working. The Holy Ghost is 24 hours working.
Hallelujah.
As you are meditating. And that's why Paul says, he said, pray without ceasing, because the Holy Ghost is there. And when that lightning show forth, the next thing after lightning is thunderings, the expressions of God's judgment.
Glory.
Those are characteristic content of his presence in the throne. You see, today I'm a little bit gentle. Yesterday I was just jumping. Because as I'm ministering, it's also hitting me, isn't it? Arabos, kelebos, kataribos, yerebos. So I am gentle. You know, me and Femi, we used to know how to use those words. Say we are gentle. When the thing is hard a little, we'll be gentle. Praise the Lord. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings. It's when this lightning and thunderings take the air, then they are you are able to speak it. You know, Paul said, I saw some revelation that I could not. When the lightnings and thunderings come forth out of the throne, then when you have received it from the throne, then you will have the ability to speak it. You will hear it as voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The custodian of the seven spirits of God is the church itself. Christ is the custodian of the seven spirits. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. It aids the instrument of judgment of the nations. The seven spirit aids. It makes us know things clearly and distinctively. We are not confused about it. It's a perfect expression of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. He says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. We'll talk about that. But let's just read. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes. Now, this is another personality again. The four beasts. The four beasts is speaking about all of God's redemptive order of persons. It's not just elders. These elders we are talking about have the attributes of this beast. It's not just elders. The elders have gone beyond that. But the four beasts speaks about the order of the full, that's why it's four. It's all over. These are men raised with the character for war. That's what they are raised for. The expression of the four beasts, they are raised for warfare. They are the executioners. They are raised for warfare. You don't have to be, for you to be a high priest, you must at some time have been an army man. Nobody becomes a priest without being an army. Because to serve as a priest, you will be 30 years old, isn't it? But to serve as in the army, 20 years. So there is nobody who is a priest. So the 24 elders have entered through that estate. You cannot be a priest serving in Israel without first being in the army. The army are the greatest people with the highest premium in Israel. That age range, the Bible says that there are 50 shekels. You know why? Because they are the one to take the kingdom. That kingdom, they are the real people. Without them, a kingdom cannot be taken. So the army, they have high premium. It's just like even in physical, you know, we've heard that Gabon has changed. Who changed the government? Is it not the army? You don't mess around with the army. They have the capacity. Satan dreads them. The youths are there. I write to you, young men, because you are what? Strong. And the word of God, what? Abideth in you. And that's why the youths amongst us, we can't play with them. Because they belong in, they may not be experienced, old, matured experience, but they are in these four living creatures. They will take nations. That we take nations. We must have the word of God in us. We must be strong for war. Why did he talk about the word of God and talk about being strong? Because it's the word of God you use to fight war, not with machetes and cutlass and gun or atomic bomb. You can stay here, a young youth like Tolu, we stay here and speak the word. It will go forth and begin to scatter things in the nations. That is what it's about. So this beast, this four living, is all over the nation. It's four. It's the whole of God's redemptive army. The whole of God's that have come into some estate. Not just God's, but they have actually come into an estate. And what estate is that? They are full of eyes. They are full of eyes. When you are full of eyes, they have so much knowledge, so much content of God's word in them. You don't come into this estate except you have God's word. You know, I made an example of somebody who has knowledge. They have knowledge. You know, some of us cannot use social media, this thing, all these kind of things. You know, some of us, when you put the phone in their hand, this side they will be moving. You will be watching them. Some of us will be making like this. They are going. They have gone. You don't joke with them. They have speed. Before you say two, they have discovered and given you the answer. They are full of knowledge. They may not have your old man experience, because your experience have been garnered with time. They have not been around for as long as you've been around, but they have knowledge. Praise the Lord. So, I will still come back to talk about these four living creatures, but let's move forward. Because of time. Righteousness is on the high premium around the throne. And its reference to white robes or garments is seen everywhere the throne is mentioned. The act of washing our robes. Because if we look at that scripture carefully, I'm trying to read one scripture here. So there must be an act of washing our robes. We must press forward. We must wash our robes. If we go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 17. He said, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes?" If you read from the beginning of Revelation, you will see some unfolding events where some with white robes came out of the great tribulation. But what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, Listen to me. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, the elder is the one asking John. Should the elder be asking John? Why is he asking John? He's provoking, he's inquisitive. Not that he does not know. The person who asked is the person who answered. You notice that? Because he's an elder. He knows. Is to provoke. And we have those kind of provocation by the Spirit amongst us. When somebody say why, your spirit will ask you back why. And you don't quench it. It happens when you are reading the Bible. Your spirit will ask you why. You read something, the Spirit will ask you why. If you just brush aside, you don't give attention to it, so be it. But if you narrow down into it, the answer will come back. Amen. He says, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? He said, and I said unto him, Sir. He called him Sir. When they call somebody Sir. Yesterday, Brother Chu was driving us. So Brother Femi said, this is a great pleasure for senior citizen to be driving us. So we pose very well. So if we want to call him, we call him Sir. When you see a respectable person, you call him Sir. So he called the elder Sir. He said, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that seated on the throne shall dwell amongst them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the lamp which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The subject matter is the washing of the robes. You know, we said, righteousness is spent. Righteousness is not do and don'ts. I did not lie today. I did not do this today. I didn't fall into lust. There are realms of righteousness beyond do's and don'ts. And that is the purpose of the holy place. When you are in the outer court, you commit sin and all that. In the holy place, where the candlestick is, and where the bread of his presence is, as you are partaking of the bread of his presence, there are certain things he's provoking inside you. Certain things, it's not about do's or don'ts. It's about pressing into the realms of righteousness in God. Praise the Lord. The washing of the robe. Also in Revelation 22, verse 14, we are spending a lot of You know, the book of Revelation is about the whole Bible. Those 22 chapters, 22 chapters of the book of Revelation is about the whole Bible. Praise the Lord. Blessed, Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes. This is another verse it's talking about. So it is we ourselves that are what? Washing our robes. It's not somebody else coming to wash it. We ourselves. He says, blessed are these who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Hallelujah. Washing our robes is staying before the light of God. You know, you may not have committed sin, but there's something in one's life, something in one's life, that when somebody offends you, you are just embittered. You didn't commit any sin yet. Hello? Hello? We are coming there gradually. You did not hit anybody, somebody just did something, you are just embittered in your heart. You didn't curse the person, but you are embittered. The tabernacle of God cannot accommodate such. There are many acts that are buried inside our being, which is a character of our lifestyle, which we need to wash. When the children of Israel, when they were moving in the wilderness, they even had the effrontery to be murmuring against God. You know, some of us murmur against God. Oh God, why am I the only one? Why? You ask God why? You have not committed any sin. Am I the only one? Look at everybody, they are all prospering. Only me. In fact, sometimes you will kick the Bible aside. I know they read again. You have not committed anything by even kicking the Bible aside. God will not write it against you. But there must be an excelling. We must excel in the acts of righteousness beyond that kind of operation. And the only way that can happen is in the holy place, partaking of the table of shewbread in the radiant expression of the candlelight. When the people in Israel were murmuring, when they were murmuring against God, I think we should go to I'm just giving that example. Hallelujah. Let me get this. Okay. That's in Exodus. Okay, yeah. You know, people like us sweat a lot. That's in Exodus 23. I mean, Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Verse 23, I will read. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. There are bitter waters. Bitter waters literally speaks about water, but bitter water speaks about experiences. You know, the experiences that come your way, you didn't arrange it. It's like a drink offering. You know, experiences can be a drink offering. You entered into those experiences. You are not the one that manufactured it. It's not even because of what you did wrong or what you did not do. But you found yourself in the experiences. It's a drink offering that came to you. And you are drinking it. So, you start murmuring. You spontaneously murmur. Why are you blaming God? Because you cannot point anybody who gave you the drink offering. If you could point somebody who gave you the drink offering, you would have gone to his house and said, you are the one suffering me like this. So, because there's nobody to blame, you must go to God. Why? And you can begin to get embittered. And these things, they are part of tribulation experiences. Through much tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience. As we stay and manage tribulation, the patience of God is worked in us. So, and the people murmured, verse 24, against Moses. Because if you are murmuring against Moses, you are murmuring against God. Is it Moses that caused bitter waters? Is it Moses that asked them to leave Egypt? And when you start murmuring, there's always somebody you want to attack. The nearest person to you. If it's not your wife, it's your husband. If it's the nearest, you just carry that part of the bitter wine and pour on the head of the person. Maybe you came from the office, somebody annoyed you from the office, and you just your daughter said good afternoon. You say, what is good about the afternoon? But it's not the one that caused the experience that you have. You say, what is good about the afternoon? He said, mommy, I'm just greeting you, sorry. Those are bitter experiences. They agitate things inside your inner being. And those things that are agitated inside your inner being, they do not all go well for righteousness. They must be washed.
The name of Jesus.
For they that wash their robes, it is we that will wash. We're not going to ask God, God, come and wash. We will wash. There are many, many tribulation experiences that comes. But tribulation experience can be used as a springboard, because through much tribulation we shall enter. Because tribulation becomes a gate into the kingdom. Through much tribulation we shall what? Enter. We must come into that estate where even in tribulation we are rejoicing. It is not a mechanical thing. We must receive grace to enter that realm. When we have entered that realm, Satan is totally disappointed.
Amen.
Totally, totally disappointed. He said, this one, I cannot use him for anything. In tribulation, he's rejoicing. Paul was a very bad candidate for Satan. Very, very bad candidate. And how is this bitter waters, how is he addressed? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read further. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the water. The waters were made sweet. Do you know that tree? That tree is the cross. Praise the Lord. The tree is the cross. The cross. You know the cross is a tree. It's the cross. When bitterness cannot be cured by any means, maliciousness, bitterness. You don't go advising somebody, why are you malicious now? Don't be. No. You pray that the cross begin to do a work in the life. You are wasting your time counseling somebody who is embittered. In fact, he's embittered against everybody in the church. He's embittered. Anyway, just embittered. You are wasting your time coming to say, oh, why are you? You're always embittered. He will pour the bitterness on you that is calling. It's a cross. And for our own lives, we go to the cross. That our flesh be dealt with. We submit to the strength of grace.
Amen.
And you will just see somebody transforming, changing. The way you saw the person a year. You know, some people are not friendly. They are just not friendly. Oh, you don't know? They are, everybody run away from them. They are not just friendly. They have a lot of things round about them which they don't even have power over. You bring the cross to bear. You can't miss it with the cross. You have a stubborn husband who always behaves anyhow, bring him to the cross. Let the door of the cross be opened. God will deal with it. And the person will come out. We must wash our garments. There are so many examples we can keep giving, but we need to move forward. Praise the Lord. Now, all these things we are talking about are the things that will make us, wow, the time is even so fast spent. No problems. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So this is from the holy place. It's an holy place ministry. We receive counsel from God. We spend time in his presence. We address. If we have things in our lives, consciously you've noticed something, you take it to God and pray about it. You just pray about it. You are quick to anger, take it to the cross. Anything that you know is a diligent act, it's an intentional act. Praise the Lord. It's deliberate. Hallelujah. I'm trying to just... Okay, fine. Oh, I can close at 1:15. Or, oh, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, this characteristic of the throne, we are looking closer at it. The actual description of the throne on a much closer look. The fullness of knowledge is seen around the throne. In the arena of the throne, the fullness of knowledge is seen around the throne. It's part of the beauty of the throne. Why is it, when the Bible says you will judge Israel, why is Solomon a star? Solomon is a star because he's full of knowledge. Who gave him that knowledge? God gave him wisdom. It was God that gave him wisdom. It's a particular of the throne. He gave it to him. We can ask of God wisdom and God will give to us. It's a particular of the throne so that Solomon will be able to judge Israel. Because at the estate of the throne is the estate of judgment. Every throne is the estate of judgment. You will be a good material to judge people, judge matters. Because we are the executors. God is training us to become the executors. We are being trained to become the counselors. The 24 elders that are there, the four living beasts are a company of army. They are counselors. You know, in earthly kingdom, when the king come and sit on his throne, you know there are chiefs. Eh? All those chiefs, they are chief men. When they come to the estate, because they have come to the estate of maturity, the decisions that the king make is not only him that makes. It seeks the, how do you think, what do you think, you know? See, God conversing with us. Hallelujah. Is it not a privileged position? He doesn't just want to do something. He wants to get your opinion. But before you get to that estate, you must come and be that matured elder who is righteous. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. The law vests righteousness and hates wickedness. Therefore, O heart anointed with the oil of gladness above. When Solomon was to be enthroned, the sons of Zadok were brought, and there were other armies that they called the executioner, they called the Shelelites. Maybe you have not heard that one before. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bible to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 38 to 39. Verse 38. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cheratites and the Peletites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of the oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save the king. Who are these Sheratites? Praise the Lord. Who are these Sheratites? The Sheratites are called the executioners. Praise the Lord. They are the executioners. These four living beasts, they hold the custody of the will and the purpose of God. You don't mess around. God brings them to that level of consecration. They uphold the purpose of God. They hold the will of God. They stand as a defense for his will. These are the Sheratites. The rule of God. If you have a strong concordance, you can check it. He calls them the executioner. He calls a group of foreign mercenaries. Soldiers. They are soldiers. Okay? Serving as bodyguard for King David. You know, there was a cherubim who was a covering, who was eventually overthrown. These ones protect the purposes of God. We must indeed come to that estate. Amen. And to be in this category, we must love not our life unto. These are persons in the category of the four living creatures. You know, the kind of languages we are speaking is because we are talking about the throne. If we're not talking about the throne, we will not be saying all these things we are saying. The throne is a serious matter. Serious matter. God has so dealt, we so deal and deal with us that we no more think for ourselves. All that we think about is the master. Just the master. The master's will. What the master desires. When bodyguards are moving with a king, you know how they are moving? That means they put themselves as the shield for the bullet, isn't it? They move, they stand like this, they move, those are the Sheratites. They are army men. They defend the will of God. Paul will say that I have been called for the defense of what? The gospel. Immediately you come into that estate, you say, I've been called for the defense of the gospel. It means that you are ready to die. It's simple. You are ready to die. In fact, the meaning of witness is martyr. Means you say you are a witness, means you know, my wife was sharing yesterday about the living witness. You know, you will push your mind by grace to that estate. It's not sitting in one place and taking bread and putting butter and closing your eyes and enjoying the bread and butter. That's not what we're talking about. You must push yourself. When I say they love not their life unto death, you must push yourself into that estate of grace. And you have assigned yourself. That's one of the characters of the four living creatures. Praise the Lord. I will begin to round up so we can take some prayer. There's no way we can finish what we have, but it's important we respond to God. Praise the Lord. To bring this message a little home, because we may have been speaking with symbolism. When Ezekiel saw the vision, in Ezekiel chapter 1, which we've not had time to look at, he said he saw a wheel within a wheel. When the children of Israel are moving in the battle front, all of the outer tribes, all of 12 tribes, the ark is in the center, which is the interest. Nobody must take that ark. That's the first thing they must defend. They are the defender. You know, I said the defender. They are there. They are outside there. You cannot pass. Anybody who passes there is dead. When I say anybody who passes there is dead, means that if you go and pass, shoot at is it not shoot at sight? Shoot at sight. If you pass that barrier, Shoot at sight. So it's a fearful domain. And when they come, they stay, the tribe of Judah will be there, followed by Issachar, followed the way. Then another one will be here. Then, then around the ark, the priest, where is the location? That's a ring in itself. The Levites, the son of Merari, Geshai, they will be inside. The ark is there. Then the priest will be in front there. So you see there's a ring and there's another ring. Praise the Lord. When they move in warfare, when they move in warfare, they are men of war. When they move, because they defend the cause of God, the purpose of God. And every ground that they come, any ground that the ark again is set, it has been conquered. They say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Because as he's arising, the enemies are running. Because the ark is coming. When they hear that the ark is coming, they are running. Because that's the presence of God. And there are people who bear this presence. The custodian of the content of his presence. When God arises, let his enemies be scattered. Oh, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. So when this corporate body, the corporate body is the church. When they arise, the enemies will run.
Amen.
And the battle is by prophecy. The battle is by prophecy. We speak in prophetic utterance. Our word has an honor in the heavens. Because we have been called for the defense of the gospel. And when the enemies run away, when they bring the ark, they will not bring the ark and set it up. When they set the ark up there, that ground is conquered. They can only move forward. And the ground will still be conquered and conquered until it shall be said that God has found a resting place. Brethren, this weekend, for us all, for me, it has been an interesting weekend. And the burden of all of the messages that we have shared is to propel us a little bit from our comfort zone. Let there be a zeal to move forward.
In the name of Jesus.
Let us know we have a commission in God. There is a company of people who God has raised as an army. They have the brightness from his presence. Because the brightness of the from the throne radiates upon them. In Ezekiel chapter 1, all of those verses contain a whole lot about the content of his presence. Let's arise on our feet.
Hallelujah.
We'll begin to respond to God. We may not have shared so long, but it's not how long, but it's the place of the message in our lives. If there are things in our lives that obscures righteousness, righteousness is the main key to the throne. We must be able to evaluate ourselves in the light of the Spirit and know that we are indeed moving forward. If the things that used to annoy us 10 years ago is still annoying us today, we are still petty, and not, then we are not candidate for the throne. We are not candidate for the throne. I must purge from my life in all those recesses. God should arise from in my life and let all the enemies of God and of righteousness, let them scatter. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered.
Let God, let God arise. Alleluia. Let
God arise. And his enemies be scattered.
Oh, let God arise.
And his enemies be scattered.
Let God
our life, there might be some distractions. The enemy is sowing a seed of distraction. It may not be directly related to you. It's something that has distracted us for so long. It's not giving us enough time to press in into God. Let's begin to address those distractions. It can be health condition. It can be health condition. It can be some kind of strength. It can even be my work. Let us begin to address it. We come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this place of the corporate body, we come against you. We uproot you from your roots. We bring the power of God to bear on all distraction in my life, in the life of my brethren. We address you. We say, God arises today. Libo koshko toriba haskiba ashkabaha. Brethren, all things that want to tend to obscure our eyes from sin. The Bible spoke about the living creatures as they that are full of eyes. All things that seem to want to obscure our vision, we remove it. By the blood of Jesus, we bring the blood of Jesus to bear. We remove it. Rika sere kosh koto kila bahate kebo koshubaha. Ma debo dobo le bahate re kushobu. Ye tobu. Ye tobu. Ma teke 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 ribo hushkubaha. Ma te lete 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 lebo koshkusuribaha. Debosh. You, that one that has been resisting this many years, I speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I say, lose your hold. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. Let the King of Glory come in. Yebosh Baha. Yebosh Baharibos. Yebosh Baharibos Baha. Latareka Telebokoshko Baha. Latareka Sereborobokoshu. Mabosiba. Mabosu Baharibos. Mabosu Baharibos Kaba. Metenianto Robosh. Lidarabas Bosh Kaba. Oh, let these gates, let these doors, this everlasting door, let them be lifted up. Lebosh kute ni antanima. Mapaliteri. Mapaliteri. Yeto robo koshkusariba.